So the last couple of weeks we've been discussing within the rules of Bishul, the Klalim of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. So as a starting point, there's a rule of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. We've already seen there's so many exceptions to this rule. Maybe if it's a Bevelach, Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. Maybe if it's a Fia, so the Yesh Bishul Acha Fia. Now we're going to discuss another potential exception to this rule. This is the Sugya of Hagosa. Hagosa is something which is very much relevant to Halach Lamaisa. That's what it means to stir. So we're going to talk about what is the halachic, explains the halachic status of stirring food, both stirring food on the fire, stirring food off the fire. As we're going to see, well, the corollary of stirring food is it's even more common, shot of scooping food. That scooping food out of a pot, does that run into any potential problems of visual? So the sugi really begins in Maseches Beitza, and that's Lamadal and Aleph. Tanya, the first Imam Kamos, Echad Mevias Aor, Vyechad Mevias Aitzim, Vyechad Shopat is Akadera, Vyechad Mevias Amai, Vyechad Oslam Sakhotaplin, Vyechad Megis Kulam Chayovin. You can have never one little pot of food, they can have a lot of people going to the base of Skila for. Everyone's chayav, everyone participated in the act of Chilul Shabbos. One guy lit the fire, and one guy put the wood on, and one guy put the pot of raw food on, and one person put the water into the food, and one person put the spices in, and one person stirred the pot. So they're all chayav. So the pot that we're going to focus on is the Echad Megis. So the Gemara says clearly that if a person stirs a pot of food, that's considered to be an act of bishul. And the Gemara uses the phrase chayav. Clearly, we're talking about deraisa. The Gemara in other places questions why should this be so? If I have a pot of food that's already sitting on a fire, so why should the stir of the food be chayav? After all, the food's going to cook anyway, whether I stir it or not. So my honey, what did I accomplish? So this is what the Gemara tells us. There's a cloud, it's called Kerube Bishul. That means true, the food would have cooked even without my stirring. But my stirring makes it cook a little bit quicker. That's also considered to be Bishul. So it's based on this Gemara that anything that I do to hasten the cooking process is also considered to be Bishul Deraisa. Now this is no longer limited only to stirring. This could be true with covering a pot of food. Say for argument's sake, there's a pot of food that's sitting on the fire. Let's assume for now, the worst case scenario, the food is not cooked. We'll get to the point of where it's already cooked. Let's say the food is not fully cooked yet, and I have a chont that's sitting on the crock pot. I put it up a minute before Shabbos. So now Friday night, when I come home from shul, I want to just make sure everything is going okay. So I take the cover off. So that in and of itself may not be a problem. But the problem is to put the cover back on. So I put the cover back on again. It's also in a Torah if the food is not cooked yet. Because at the point that the cover is off, so it's going to cook, it will eventually cook, but it'll take a long time to cook because it's not covered. Because when I cover it up, that's going to make it cook faster. That's like the halach equivalent to the hagasa. It's called a kruve bishul. That's clearly also. Well, let's say if I have a turkey that's sitting in the oven and it's cooking away Friday night, and I open up the oven door. So again, that in and of itself may not be a problem. But to close the oven door, again, this is old oven. This has nothing to do with thermostat, nothing to do with computer control. This is to do with bishul. The old malacha. So when I close the oven door on the cooking turkey, that's a problem because I'm making the turkey cook faster. So anything that's a kruve bishul is an effect. The halach equivalent of hagasa. But we have to now take this halach of hagasa and see: are there any exceptions to this rule? Are there any things that don't necessarily fall under this problem of hagasa? So this part of the sugi really begins in the second of the Mamre Kamos, in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. It's a little bit of an introduction to this sugya. The laws of machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Is a person permitted to start a system, to set up some kind of a mechanism from before Shabbos, that the malacha will be done by itself into Shabbos? So the Mishnah gives a whole series of different illustrations of this machlokas. What if I set up a trap on a Friday afternoon, and I know an animal's going to get trapped on Shabbos? Is that a problem or not? So according to Beis Shammai, that's a problem. According to Beis Shammai, that's what's called shvisas kelim. My utensils are doing work for me, so that's a problem. And according to Beis Hillel, that's okay. According to Beis Hillel, Shvisas Kelim is permissible. I'm not allowed to do malacha, or my animal is not allowed to do malacha, or not even I'll ask a non-Jew to do malacha for me. But if I set up a system that my kelim, that my utensils, do malacha by themselves on Shabbos, and I'm sleeping and the malacha is taking place, so Beis Hillel holds that that's not only is that not awesome in the Torah, it's not even awesome in the Rabbanan, the Tetzeh Gomor. Of course, according to Beis Shammai, Shabbos class would be absolutely out of the question. It would be also in the Torah. We have to not the Paschal like Beis Shammai. So comes the Gemara in the context of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Gemara raised the following question. Who is the author of the following braisa? That a woman should not take a pot of different kinds of vegetables, beans or something, which are not cooked, and put them into the oven right before Shabbos. I.e., one should not put food up right before Shabbos that is going to cook into Shabbos. One cannot put up a chillin right before Shabbos going to cook into Shabbos. So, who is the author of that statement? So the Gemara says, we could skip down a little bit, so it gets into a little bit of details which are not relevant for us. We skip down to the fourth line. So in the middle of the line, Lema Beishami Velo Beitzela. Let us say that this, the author of this braisa is Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, what could be wrong? The same way you can set up a trap on Friday, it should be permissible to set up a pot on Friday. So says the Gemara that there is a fear lest the person comes to stir the coals. And even Beis Hillel, who usually hold that to set up a system Friday afternoon is permissible, but sometimes there is a tangential problem that if you set up a type of a system that may really lead you personally to do Malach on Shabbos, so that's a gezeira. That means the Rabbanon is prohibited. The example of the Gemara says, Hashem Yechat Be'echav. This is, of course, the source for the Yisra of Shehiyah, of putting food on the fire on Friday afternoon. Under some circumstances, it's Asar, and sometimes it's Mut. Hopefully, down the line, later on, we'll talk a little bit more about the details of this halacha. But again, we only want to extract what's critical for us. So basically, what the Gemara is telling us is that even though Beis Hillel are pretty lenient, they do permit putting food on the, they do permit setting up systems on Friday afternoon, even though the Malacha will occur on Shabbos. Food on the fire is an exception to the rule. Food on the fire is a gezeira shem yechat b'gichol. So now the Gemara picks up a little bit on this and says, but one of the examples of the Mishnah that's permissible to do on Friday, according to Beis Hillel, is to take dye and to take wool and to put the wool into the dye. We know it takes a little bit of time for the dyeing process to take place, for the wool to actually receive the color, to be colored as an ayin, to receive the color, for the malach of Tzaveh to take place. Remember, right after we got married, so we went to this place called Sturbridge Village. It's one of these colonial, places in Massachusetts. So they had an exhibit on the dyeing process. I was absolutely fascinated. So I was the only one, nobody else could get my father dye. But I was very fascinated. So I talked to the woman a long time about the dyeing process. And then the other thing I was very fascinated was that they had an umbrella from the 1700s. So I was trying to make sense out of this tshuva that Rebbe Yehuda about opening up umbrellas, the way he's describing, not exactly the modern day, a press button umbrella. So I was trying to get a little bit of a sense. So everyone else on the trip couldn't figure out what is with this Meshuggah about, why he cares. And this is my wife, the other thing she was interested in at the time, we had just gotten married, and all the women in Sturbridge Village, they're all walking around with their hair covered. So one of the things they said in that demonstration is that they always cover the hair out of modesty. So my wife asked them, do you cover your hair inside also, only when your husband's around? They said, do you follow the Chassam Sofer? Do you follow the Zohar? I'm very excited to hear their version. Anyway, so getting back to the dyeing process, so the Mishnah gives us an example of something that's permissible according to Beis Hillel, is that you're allowed to put the dye, you're allowed to put the wool into the dye, even though the malacha of dyeing of tzevea will occur on Shabbos, that's okay. So says the Gemara, well, wait a second, that second to the last line of that second Maramakom. So tzemer liyor ligzor. Let's make the same gezeira shem yechata v'yicholim, the same way that Beis Hillel said that you're not allowed to put a pot of food on the fire right before Shabbos because we're afraid you may come to adjust the coals. So it should be prohibited to put the wool into the dye because the wool and dye is also a cooking process. It's also on the fire. That was the original bishul in the Mishkan, the bishul of the dye. So tzemer liyor ligzor. How come Beis Hillel prohibit putting food on the fire Friday afternoon, but they permit putting the wool into the dye on Friday afternoon? To put it on the fire itself when there are coals, that's going to be a problem. The only time that it's permissible, according to Beis Hillel, is if the pot is off the fire. It's off the fire. It's just a boiling pot of hot water, and now you're boiling a pot of dye, and now you want to put the wool inside, so there's no fear. But now the part that becomes relevant for us, asks the Gemara, V'necho shema megis ba. Let us be afraid that you may come to stir the wool. Stirring the wool will also enhance the dyeing process. Is it going to be malach of tzever, malach of bishul? But that's already not necessary for us right now. But the Gemara clearly asked was, even if the pot is off the fire, the stirring of the dye and the stirring of the wool together should be labeled as megis. And if it's megis, so that's the same halacha, even tzuvei abishal. So Gemara says, you're right, ha'kur betocha, the halacha by askinon, not only is the pot off the fire, but it's sealed up also. It means there's no way for the person to get inside till after Shabbos. Again, we're not learning this because it's tzuvei right now. We're not interested. Most of us aren't going to be dyeing our wool today. We want to extract one nekuda from the sugya. The one nekuda from the Gemara is that you see clearly that the malacha of hagasa, of stirring, applies even if the pot is off the fire, because that was the shakbatar in the Gemara. Let there be a problem of shemichat b'gicholim. Says the Gemara, the pot is off the fire. So yes, the Gemara, so vital. Let there be a problem of hagasa, and the Gemara had to deal with it with a technical answer. So you see clearly that when you have a pot, for our purposes, leaving it out to die, the pot of food, not only is there a problem of hagasa when it's on the fire, like the original case in Beit Daf Lamed Aleph, but there could be a problem of hagasa if it's off the fire also. Presumably, if it's a kli mishot, if it's something which is shayach to cook in, so the very act of being negus is potentially an act of bishul. So it's based on this Gemara that the Rashba comes with the following kasha. Comes the Rashba on the next in the Marmakamos. Well, let's skip that Tosin Shabbos, but the Rashba, Chedushi Rashba, Masech HaShabbos, Yud Chesem and Aleph, I'm going to say Yud Chesem and Beis. The Hadiko Amrinan Biora Akur V'tocha, Mashma, the Afilu Bi Akura Ika Mishomegis, the Hagasa B'Kli Rishon Kibishol. So says the Rashba, from this Gemara it would appear that Hagasa, the Isser of stirring food, applies even if it's not on the fire. And again, that shouldn't surprise us, because as we should know already by now, Kli Rishon, whether it's on the fire or it's off the fire, it's basically all the same. So just as there's a problem of bishul in a kli rishon, and just as hagasa is the halachic equivalent of bishul, that should carry over to the kli rishon even if it's off the fire. And now comes the Rashba, kasha li in kena elfas v'achdeira shavir musachin heach motziim b'mekaf halo megis. Ask the Rashba, how can you scoop out your children on Shabbos? How can you scoop out anything on Shabbos? How can you put a ladle into soup and take out the soup? How can you do anything on Shabbos? Whenever you stick a ladle, you stick a spoon into food, so by definition you're stirring it a little bit, intentionally or unintentionally, you're doing a little bit of an act of hagasa. So if hagasa applies, whether it's on the fire, whether it's off the fire, every act of scooping food on Shabbos should be an isser of hagasa.
Assume it's fully cooked.
No, that's, you're ready at the teretz. So this is the Rashba's kasha. So we want to now focus in on the Rashba's teretz. So if you go down to four lines on the bottom of that piece in the Rashba, middle of the line, O Yeshli Lomar, the Chol the Boshil Kemaychol Ben Drusoi Leika Mishomeges. Says the Rashba, once the food is cooked, then it's no longer subject to Hagasa. And what constitutes cook? If you remember, this is the Rashba Lishitoso. The Rashba holds, once food is cooked to Michael Ben Jusoy, once it's cooked either a third or a half cooked, so it's basically edible, even though normal people probably wouldn't eat it, but it can be eaten on the run, it can be eaten, it's called rare. So once it's halachically cooked, then it's no longer halachically subject to Hagasa. The Hamegis Mishum Devashel Hu Demechayev. So says the Rashba, it's Pasha that this is true, because Megis is also Mishum Bishol. The Kevan Shigil Amaychem Adrusoi Suleika Mishum Devashel. Chavachoymer, if real Bishol isn't subject to, is not a problem anymore after it's Maychem Adrusoi, so Chavachomer Hagosa is not a problem. So what do we have at this point? We have the Gemara Maseches Beitza that tells us that Hagasa is a problem of Bishul. Whatever Bishul is also, Hagasa is also. So comes the Rashba and was Medayik from the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud Ches that Hagasa is a problem both in a Kli Rishon Al Ha'esh as well as in a Kli Rishon Shilo Al Ha'esh. Asks the Rashba if that's true, so then how could you ever scoop food on Shabbos? Because taking food out of a pot is basically being mangus. Answers the Rashba, no, that Hagasa is Chai Mishum Ravashel, that it's not going to be any stricter than Bishul proper. If Bishul proper no longer applies after Michael Ben Jusoi, then Hagasa is not going to apply after Michael Ben Jusoi as well. So this is the Yesod of the Rashba. Now, we can accept the Rashba partially. We can meet the Rashba halfway. What I mean is as follows. We spent a lot of time several weeks ago discussing the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Rashba. Is it really true that once the food is Maicha Ben Drusoi, we say Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. Is that really the cutoff point for subsequent Bishul? So the Rashba said yes, and the Rambam said no. The Rambam said, in order to enable a food to be no longer subject to Bishul, Maicha Ben Soy is not sufficient. It has to be fully cooked, 100% cooked. We call this basho cold tarko. Going to the Rambam, it's in that in-between stage, between Maicha Ben Drusoy, which is a third or half cooked, and fully cooked, it is still subject to Bishol Mida Araisa. That was the Rambam Shita, and we lechatchila at least, maybe we try very hard to be chashish for the Rambam Shabbat, the Araisa, the Rambam, the Rashba. We would never dream of quote unquote re-cooking food after Maicha Ben Drusoy under any circumstances. So let's accept the Rashba halfway, that whenever Bishol doesn't apply, Hagasa doesn't apply. But just because that's true, we're not necessarily going to come to the conclusion of the Rashba after Maicha Ben Drusoy, Hagasa is Mutar.
Because Shema Yichata
Right, no, but Shema Yichata, Shema Yichata is a different problem with the Rabbanu. We're talking about even if it's off the fire. So if it's off the fire, there's no Shema Yichata, and we're dealing with the Shal of the Raisa. So I will accept the Rashba's premise. Premise number one, whenever there's no Bishul, there's no Hagasa. But I can deny the Rashba's second premise, that the cutoff point is Maicha Ben Drusoy. I could put in another cutoff point. The cutoff point being this Basha Kol Tzorcho. So I could say, yeah, the Rashba's Gevalt. The Rashba's very, very helpful for us. Once there's no more Bishul, there's no more Hagasa. But I'm going to put the cutoff point of no more Bishul much, much further on in the process than the Rashba. I'm going to put it at this Basha Kol Tzorcho. So in effect, what we're saying is as follows, that the Rashba, the tremendous Chiddush, after Maicha Ben Drusoy, it's mutter to be megis. B'chatchili, you're allowed to stir a pot after Maicha Ben Drusoy. That was predicated on two assumptions. Assumption number one, megis cannot be any mochamed than bishul proper, so ein bishul acha bishul concerning megis. And number two, the shear for ein bishul acha bishul is Maicha Ben Drusoy. You can accept the first premise of the Rashba and deny the second premise of the Rashba. So if you would ask me, that's what I would say in halacha. I would say that since we follow the Rambam l'chumra that ein bishul acha bishul is only at nisbashal kol tzorcho, so once it's nisbashal kol tzorcho, then I have no problem invoking the Rashba school. Then I have no problem of saying hagasa is totally completely permissible. Before that, I'm not going to be ma'afir because it's going to depend on the machlokes the Rambam and the Rashba. Comes the Magen Avraham. Skip down another two bar makamos. Comes the Magen Avraham and Orechaim and Simin Shin Yudches Sivkot and Membeis. Quote the Beis Yosef, who's quoting from one of the Rishonim, the Kolbo. We don't even know who the Kolbo was. Kolbo was an anonymous sefer, but it's one of the Gedolei Rishonim. The Beis Yosef quotes it all the time. The Beis Yosef has been raised in Gimel Kosta B'Shem HaKolbo. The Megis Chayim Mishum Mevashel. So far, nothing radical. You don't need a Kolbo for that. So here comes the very radical statement. Afila b'kedera mevushelas kol tzarcha. Even if the food is totally and completely cooked, now he throws in a little bit of a disclaimer. Kol zman she'ala esh ayicham. If it's still on the fire. Now this is really a double chiddush. This kolbo, because we never heard anybody say such a thing, that there should be bishul, there should be an effect hagosa on something which is fully cooked. How can Hagasa be more chomer than Bishul proper? So we don't understand the first half of the Kobo. But on the other hand, we're not really sure we understand the second half of the Kobo either. So in terms of Lomar, that he's right, that somehow Hagasa takes on a life of itself, and it can be even more chomer than Bishul proper, since when do we distinguish between on the fire versus off the fire? The only distinction that we know is Kli Rishon versus non-Kli Rishon. So if the Kobo's right, which again, we don't understand why in the world it should be right, L'chora, it should be a problem, even in the Kli Rishon, Shalo Agavi or Eish. So we really have to analyze what's pshat of this Kolbo. So we really now, in a sense, have three different permutations in the Rishonim. At what point do we say that Hagasa is okay? According to the Rashba, if the Maicha Ben Drusoy, you have no concerns of Hagasa. According to the Rambam, combined in effect with the Rashba's first premise, if the Mizbasha Kol Tzorcho, excuse me, you have no problems of Hagasa. And according to the Kolbo, if it's on the fire, you could never make that statement. According to the Kolbo, it's always subject to a deraisa. Uses the word chayev. Chayev always means that's a code word for deraisa. Megis is chayev. Afilu mevusha kol tzorcho kol zman shel ha'esh. According to the Kolbo, there's no heta. There's no kula whatsoever. Question is, Where does this come from? What's it based on? It seems to fly in the face of everything that we've been saying up until now, for the last several weeks. If it's the Vushikol Tzorcho, it's over, finished. Well, how is it possible to be Chayav Mishum Hagosa? So if we take a look at the next of the Mokamos, it's a Chuvasar of Moshe. See, Gus Moshe, Chelek, or Chayim, Chelek, Dalet, Simon, Ayin, Dalet. This appears in print, at least in two places that I know of. Originally in the back of Reb Shimon Ida Svarim, the two old blue books about Hilcha Shabbos, the one who was before all the other English books about playing what to do on Shabbos came out, he was the first. So Reb Shimon Ida writes in the back of his Svarim a whole series of questions and answers that he asked Reb Moshe Palpeh, he asked Reb Moshe, Valpeh, and Reb Moshe answered him, and Reb Shimon Ida wrote down what the answers were. So that was that give and take between Shimon and Reb Moshe was subsequently published in a later edition of Igus Moshe and Aruch Chaim Chelek Dalet. But the original place that was written in print was in the back of Shimon Adar. It's Mamash, last time I checked, it's Mamash verbatim. So comes Reb Moshe and he says that Ika Gamdas, the fourth line, the Ika Gamdas Akova, in the middle of discussing the issue of Hagasa, and he says, you have this kolbo that says that it's also in Torah, even after it's cooked. Af shalom muvan hadavar. So Baruch Hashem, we're not in such bad company. Rav Moshe says he doesn't really understand why that should be so. But the ikek tzas tam afiyani yezdait. He says he's going to give a suggestion as to what the beer in the kolbo is. Now, ha'af shakadeir hu mevushak otzach, even though the kadeir appears to be fully cooked. So, for the Kobol's opinion is, she'ira habit pa'amim, she'ika kartin telonis bashlu kol tzarch. Sometimes you can have little pieces, kartin is a phrase of his in the Gemara Nida, like little pieces of the food that are not quite fully cooked. Even though everyone can eat them, that basically 99.9% of the pot is really cooked. We have little pieces here and there that may not yet be fully cooked. So therefore, what says the Kolbo? Says Rabbi Yishev Dasa Kolbo. Hagosa Shema Arev Kishu Al Ha'esh Osa Sheyiz Bashal Damheim. So he says that when you do Hagasa, what's going to happen? You're going to start to move these karten, these little particles, little pieces of uncooked food around, and it's going to turn out that in effect what you're doing is you're cooking these previously uncooked pieces. So what's your Moshe telling us? You take a pot of food that's quote-unquote fully cooked, it's not really fully cooked. You know what this sounds like a little bit? Henry came with the perfect time. This is like gebracht sounds a little bit. Like it's a piece of matzah that's fully baked, but it's not really fully baked. Within the little teeny crevices, it's not fully baked. So just as by gebracht, so how can you eat it if it's not fully baked, so it's chametz? The answer is, it's not fully baked, according to those who ask for gebracht. Not fully baked. On the other hand, the way it is right now, it's not turning into chimutz. The chimutz process has been stopped. The only thing that can restart the chimutz process is applying more water to it. Same board as Rav Moshe is saying here. This, you got a pot of food, you got a pot of chont here. The pot has been sitting for 20 hours, it's fully cooked, maybe. There's little parts that may be tucked away that are not fully cooked. If you just take this pot and put it on the fire, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to change. You're not going to make it cook any more than it's already fully cooked. There's only one thing you could do that could make it cook further, stirring it. Once you start stirring it, so that those parts of the karten that may have been further from the flame, they may have been inside, now they're going to be outside, everything's going to change when you stir. So Rav Moshe is suggesting a chiddush gadol, but that's the kolbo, and really explains both aspects of the kolbo, the chumra and the kula. It explains how the kolbo could say the hagosah is in a sense mochamed and bishul. Not the hagosah is conceptually mochamed and bishul. Hagosah practically, technically, is potentially mochamed, because hagosah could change the matias, could change the fact, you stir the food, so now some of the food is potentially going to be not recooked but cooked for the first time. And that will also explain why perhaps it only takes place on the fire itself. But with the heat combined with the fire, so then such a chashash of recooking this content may make sense. This is Rav Moshe's chiddush, his beer with Asa Kovo. So Kovo, we really have three different approaches in the Rishonim. What is the story of Agosa? If and when does Agosa ever become mutter? When are you ever permitted to stir a pot on Shabbos? We don't know the basis of stirring a pot. Uncooked food is clearly also midaraisa. Comes the Rashi ben Shabbos that Yechas and says, but once it's this bashel to Meichel ben Yisoy, it's mutal chetchila to start it. The Rashi ben Shitoso, that Hagrosa is a function of Bishul, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, and the cutoff point for Ein Bishul Acha Bishul is Maicha Ben Jusoi. According to the Rash, that's Mutlach at Chiyu to start after Maicha Ben Jusoi. According to what we claim, the Shittas HaRambam is it's mutter to stir, but only after the Zbasha called Tzarcho, because the Rambam holds that Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul until the Zbasha called Tzarcho. Now we have the Kobo throwing us for a curveball, telling us no, even if it's the Zbasha called Tzarcho, it's still also in a Torah to stir, because of this Chashash, perhaps, of Ramesh's understanding of the Kobo, of the Bishul HaKartin. Again, it would only apply if it's Ala Esh.
It doesn't seem that Ramesh holds like the Kobo.
No, he's not. He's just giving you a beer in the Kobo. Telling you a beer in the Kobo. Problem is, the post can say, we should try to be choshev for the Kobo. That's the post can say, Machon Avram. They quote the Kobo as a chashash. So if Ramesh's beer is right, so in effect, we're being choshev for Ramesh's beer. He's not saying it's absolute Iker Hadid. Saying that according to the Kobo, and those who follow the Kobo, one would have to be a Nachman.
What would they suggest? Take a look at the fire and wait.
So we're going to get to Lamaisa now. So up until now, we've been discussing something that's probably not relevant to Lamaisa. I'll tell you why. Who's stirring food? Why today I'll be stirring food? Who stirs food on Shabbos morning? Here comes the problem. Comes the Rambam. Going back, the Rambam comes a little bit. Rambam Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, author, Sefer Lamekomos, says the Rambam, Also lahachnis magreifa lekedera b'Shabbos, v'hi ala eish lahotzi mimena b'Shabbos, v'pnei shem negis ba, v'zem yitzarche abishalu v'nimtzakim evashal b'Shabbos. Says the Rambam, in effect, whenever you're not allowed to stir, you're not allowed to scoop. We mentioned this in passing 15 minutes ago. The Rambam says, putting a spoon into a pot is basically the equivalent of stirring. Because just the very act of putting the spoon in and taking the chilled out, putting the ladle and pulling it out, that's potentially a problem of megis. So the Rambam made this jump, made the equation for us. But hagrosa is asur, so then bishul, then stirring is asur as well. Says the Rabbi on that Rambam, Avram hifriz amidosav. It's a nice way of saying that he's wrong. She also afil holds bina kedair b'magreifa. Says the Rabbi, who ever heard of this? Hagosa is also. Who says that putting scoops into food, into pots is also? Who says that that's called hagosa? The halacha, we try to follow the Rabbi of Shita. We assume the halacha, but every you're not allowed to be megis, you're not allowed to scoop as well. So now, let's try to put this into perspective, halacha l'maisa. We're going to equate for now scooping and stirring against the Rabbi. We're going to follow the Rabbi. Most of the folks can follow the Rabbi. You can't stir, you can't scoop. So let's go case by case. You have a pot of food that's sitting on the fire, and it's not yet cooked to the point of Michael Ben Jusoy. It's barely, we just put on right before Shabbos. To stir that food on Shabbos is an Issur D'oraisa on the Chol HaDeis. That's the Gemara Beitza. Kulon Chayovin, Echad Negis, Kulon Chayovin. To stir an uncooked food is absolutely out of the question. To scoop out of an unstirred food is also out of the question, because we accept the Rambam's equation when stirring's also scooping's also as well. What if the pot of food is already nisbashel kamaicha ben drusoy? That means the chulent is edible b'shachas chak, and I want to serve it ben drusoy, comes by Friday night chulent, so I want to give him a little bit of chulent. It's not quite ready yet, it's not fully ready, but it's edible b'shachas chak. It's a third or a half cooked. To stir that cholent will depend on the machlokas of Rambam and the Rashba, whether Ein Bishul Acha Bishul kicks in at Michael Ben Jusoy, or whether it only kicks in at the later point. It's a Shalav Adiraisa. We've said already many times with Machmer for that. So basically, what that would mean practically is, if the food is not quite Nispashikot Tzorcho, it's also to be Negus, and the corollary that it's also to be Negus is that it's also to scoop as well. So far, we got two out of three Surim. But what if the food is fully cooked and now I want to stir or scoop? If it's fully cooked, sitting on the fire, according to the Rashba, hetegomer. Pashtus, according to the Rambam, it's hetegomer. According to the Kobo, I'm chayav for stirring. Now the question is, does the corollary kick in as well? Do we say, well, whenever you can't stir, you can't scoop? So, Pashtus, we should say that. If you can't stir food, you're not allowed to scoop it. As the Rambam says, the nimtza shemegis, because so scooping is the same as stirring.
So according to the Kobo, you just just take it off
the hold on, we're getting there. So according to the Kolbo, let's put together in effect the Kolbo and the Rambam. The Kolbo says that there's an Issa Deraisa of Hagosa even at the Spasha Kotzach, if it's on the fire, if that Kolbo is true. And if the Rambam is true, that whenever you can't stir, you can't scoop, you put those two shittas together, you have the following Kiddush. You have food that's sitting on the fire. You have cholent that's sitting on either an old style cholent or a pot on the fire. Remember in the old days, we used to make cholent that way. Or you have cholent in a crack pot, which is in effect sitting on the fire, the wires, the coil, that the lachi fire. You don't want to stir the cholent. Cholent's food's been cooking since Friday afternoon. It's fully cooked. You're not interested in stirring it. You want to dish it out. You want to scoop it out. You want to serve from a pot of food that's sitting on the fire. You want to serve from a chon pot that's sitting on a crack pot. If you put together the Kolbo with the Rambam, that's also, because according to the Kolbo, it's a derais of Hagosa. To stir it would be also benatar. According to the Rambam, what you can't stir, you can't scoop. Are we required to put those two chumras together or not? So this was a major machlokas mekadoli at Poskim. Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions about this. Chazanish was maker, Rabbi Yishu was machmer, machlokas mamish, adayim was mekadoli at Poskim, halacha lemaisa. Is the person permitted to go to his chulin pot, either on the fire or on the crack pot, stick in a ladle, stick in a spoon, and dish out some of the chulin from the pot itself? Is that a problem of scooping, which is included in stirring? And do we have to say the kolbos, at least the chumr v'chash for the kolbo, that there's hagosa, even if it's a spashikol tzorcha, provide that tava esh? So as somebody pointed out, what's the big deal? Take it off the fire, put it down on the table, and then scoop from there. So I'll say it like this. Shabbos morning, in Ochinav, you're right. There's no big deal. But something that's been instituted, I guess we have to only blame the Olamai Yeshivas for this one, but cholent on Friday night. I'm Mishagas. You have to have cholent on Friday night. The very antithesis of what cholent was supposed to be. The whole point of cholent was to have hot food on Shabbos morning. So you have to have cholent on Friday night now. So you're going to take the pot. You're going to be very, very firm. I don't want to be chalila with the kolbos and the rambams, all the chumras, everything put together. So I will not scoop my food. I will not dish out the cholent Friday night from the pot on the fire. What do? Take it off the fire, put it down on the counter, get it around the kolbo, scoop it out. I'm ready to put it back on the fire. Now I have a real problem on my hands, because that's achzara, which is also according to the Mishnah. So you try to put together chumras of rambams and kolbos, and you try to be machmir. Now you have yourselves a major problem of how in the world could you ever put that food back on the fire, back on the krakbah. It's a gomor mit derabbanan of achzara. So there are some who said, you know what, I don't want to get involved with these Hachzara problems. I'd rather just forget about the kobo, forget about the scooping. It's only scooping, it's not stirring. That's what some Poskim said. That forget the kobo, just scoop it off from off the fire, it's easier. Others said, that's a pasha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes 2 days, we have Shilkaim Shneim. So what do? So we'll take the pot off the fire in front of night, and you all kind of kunsim to, in a sense, circumvent the Yisra of Hachzara. So you got to be really smart how to do those kunsim. So one of the kunsim is, we'll talk about hopefully later on, Odebiyado, you have to hold on to the chillin pot. So there began the minig of, you know, the husband and wife dishing out the chillin together. I'm holding the pot, she's scooping out the pot. Chalila, not to put the pot down. We want to be so machmir in the kolbos and the rambams not to scoop from the fire, and we don't want to run dachzar problems. So we have all kind of kunsim to scoop out the chillin from a pot which is still Odebiyado. Those who've been in Rosh HaKolel may remember the very, very large chillin pot that was very, very hard to hold by one person. So you had to have a whole series of different people holding it. And then the coolie could put it down on the counter if you still hold on to it. So maybe in Yavin it's not always a foolproof situation. There's always a guy who's holding the chillin pot who sneezes in the middle and takes his hand off. And there's also always the clown who gives a tickle to get him to. Also maybe in Yavin, I won't mention any names, public forum. So those who've been there know what I'm referring to. It wasn't morning. So this whole chumrah created a whole literature, a whole discussion. And the Poskim had to get around Achzara. And the only reason why we're getting ourselves into the problem of Achzara is because of this whole kolbo combined with the Rambam scooping. This causes a problem also in terms of crackpots. There are some crockpots where you can't do that. It's called the old style one piece crockpot. It wasn't feasible to do that. It's only one piece, so you can't take it off. You can take it off. It's the crock, it's the pot, it's the hot home, you go. So you have to scoop from, even Shabbos morning, you have to scoop out of the pot. So those who used to have the one piece crockpots were in effect being makil on the scooping issue according to the Kobos. Not the end of the world. So some felt very bad about that. They didn't want to be makel. So what did they do? So they bought themselves what's called a two-piece crockpot. Two-piece crockpot. It's a Gevaldik crockpot insert. You take the pot out, you hold on to it, and you scoop. Gevaldik. Small technical problem. According to half the Poskim, there's an Issur Gomer of Hatmara, which is also in the Mishnah. Again, we'll have to talk about this later on down the line. So this kobo is causing a lot of problems. Those who want to be makel for the kobo, they're running into Zohar problems.
People have that two-piece crockpot, and they have somebody in the family who would like to have children to party night, what do they do?
Well, the two-piece crockpot may be a problem. Maybe a problem about the money, even if you don't want children Friday night, even if you want a Shabbos morning.
Yeah.
Stones, the aluminum. The best way, again, I'm sure if we rent the Shabbos, the best solution to all of these problems is what's called a two-piece West Bend crockpot. Which means one piece, it's a special crockpot, not so special anymore, but it started 10 years ago or so, where it's one pot, rather than on inside another pot, it's on top of another pot. So you have like a little cooking apparatus, then you have a crockpot piece where the food goes, which is sitting on top, so you can take it off easily, you don't have any cold boshailas, you can actually put a black, put a little piece of aluminum foil, so you can put it back on as long as you hold on to it. You don't have any hatmana shailas, so you've solved the hagosa, hatmana, and hakzara in one fell swoop. We'll talk about this at a later point, we'll get to hakzara and hatmana, the details of this, but the whole institution of this crockpot that made its way into Frum Homes was because of this cold bowl. Everything is because of this sugya of hagosa. So, Chopanim, the Ika sugya of hagosa appears in the Gemara Beitza, the Rishon of Machlekes, when, if and when, are any of the limitations, and Ramesha's interesting beer, but that's a couple.
What happens to smoking with the Shabbos clock?
You fill up the money.
You know you don't serve it.